The following audio was recorded at the Pacific School Leadership Institute, which was held at Waits Lake Bible Camp near Valley, Washington, on October 19 and 20, 2023.
Maybe we'll start by saying a word of prayer. Dear God in heaven, I pray that you would be with this class and help us to get a little something out of it that we can take home and that can be positive for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so this is meant to be interactive. So it'll be really short without some feedback. And I have to say that after ignoring Jonathan or ignoring his phone calls for a couple of weeks last winter, when I finally did, because you know, he's not, like, I know Jonathan pretty well, but not really, like, often phone call buddies with him. So I knew this, something was up when he was calling me. And then his description of what I was supposed to talk on, compared to what I read when I got this, I have to tell you, I had quite a start. So clearly, Jonathan needs a class on communication. I was hoping he'd be here to help let me. I'm coming more from the angle of maybe communication is bad, and just some simple ways to maybe help that, right? So, like I said, like, I'm going to ask questions or suggestions, and I need pretty rapid feedback here. So, to start out, you know, autospell or autocorrect on my phone and I have a running battle. Like, it does not have much emotional intelligence in trying to read what I'm trying to say. Here's an example. So, yesterday, actually while working on this, I was thinking of the concept of positive word craft. And what I mean is coming up with a set of words that are positive that, you know, give them a certain meaning. Well, autocorrect, I had it written positive word craft as three words. Well, it suggested positive word craft, right? It wanted two. And so I was like, okay, I don't know for sure, so I acquiesced, right? It changed it to wordcraft, one word. Well, then it wasn't happy with that, and it wanted to be woodcraft, positive woodcraft. So there's one letter difference, right? But now we're talking something completely different. Bing might be good at positive woodcraft, right? But positive wordcraft as a three-letter sentence or phrase is something completely different. So I have a fellow that works with me, and he's a little better at finding, or maybe a lot better, at finding a good deal than I am. So shopping for a pickup, and so I knew he's going to find a better deal on a pickup for me. So, hey, you find me a good deal, right? So he goes to work, and sure enough, he finds a good deal on a pickup, much better than I would have ever found. Part of the deal was is they would throw in a set, if I bought this pickup, they would throw in a set of all-weather floor mats for free. That was part of the deal. He negotiated me. Okay, so I bought the pickup. And there was no floor mats, right? So I talked to him, well, there's supposed to be a set of floor mats. Well, they're back ordered. We'll get you those floor mats when we can get them. Like, okay, whatever. You know, a while later, text him like, hey, any progress on the floor mats? Well, let me check. Go to the parts department. Well, they're still back or still not coming. And I was like, well, you know, it's okay, but if I'm never going to get them, just tell me, then I'll go buy myself a set of floor mats. Well, this friend of mine, he asked me, well, so how's the pickup? And I said, well, it's a great pickup, but still no floor mats. And about 15 minutes later, he sends me some screenshots. where he had went to them and to negotiate my, to get me my floor mats. And his communication to them was different than mine. His was like, hey, why'd you guys lie about the floor mats? And the person on the other end of the screenshot was like, we didn't lie about anything. Like, well then get the floor mats. You said you would have them. And then a little while later, you can see the person replied, okay, they're coming. Okay, question. I didn't get floor mats in my method of communication. He got floor mats, right? Or he's, in theory, right? He's. Should I use his method? If the goal is to get the floor mats? What do you think?
Doesn't always work to change our method.
Okay.
Some methods have caveats that you have to consider. His method maybe works, but it still demands politeness. Respect. Maybe he exhibited it, I don't know. But.
Yeah. Okay. I think we'd have to define success. Is ultimate success getting the floor mats, or is ultimate success the the post-interaction relationship? Okay. All right, so I'm kind of a visual learner, and people that have heard me I've done similar to this before, but okay, let's say we have over here, we have a schoolhouse with a swing set. And there's a tree in the backyard, right? We have a teacher with some students. And then we have a stream of water. That. And on this side we have this fellow is going to represent the school board. Okay? Quickly, if you could you define success for me in the relationship between these two? The school board and in area of communication. Just quick. How would you define success in communication?
Comfortable?
Any more?
Trust.
Okay, great. I had that one. Mutual trust. Any others?
Clear.
Clear? Clear communication is what that means? More. That's what we're all after here. High frequency. You like that one? Any more?
Respectful.
Respect. Positive human interaction. Any others that you're just wanting to say? There's problem solving, maybe. Okay, so over here, I'm gonna write down some. So here's the thing. If this is success, what do we gotta do today to start heading towards that? Assuming we don't have it, right? Now, I would like to write down some barriers to that. What would you put as barriers? Is that how you spell barriers? I argued with auto spell. How do you spell it? Is that right? What?
R-E-R-S.
Oh, yeah, I missed the R. But that's right. Yeah. What's some barriers?
Assuming.
Personal agendas.
What if they're good personal agendas?
Most times they're in a negative sense.
Criticism.
Any more? Is that right? Sorry, ignore my spelling for now.
Procrastination.
Okay. I'm gonna write down low frequency. Feet of the pants, decision making. So those are barriers to that. Okay. So let's assume this is your reality. Well, let's go like this. Here's another reality often in our school. Is down here you have a house with a mother, and she's got these little preschoolers here, and you know, mom's tired, she's super busy, but she's got some children going to school. Then you have dad, he's working and he's busy, barely enough time to, you know, he's driving his tractor, he's kind of busy. So that's another reality that we face. So those bit there. Okay. So now we want to build a bridge from this school board member to this teacher, right? What could we do today to start? Let's assume right here is where we need our bridge to be, so we can cross this river. What do we need to do today to, what kind of materials would we use to build that bridge? Let's say this is the only good place to have a bridge. And there's a tree right in the way, so we need to remove that tree. What would you say?
There has to be a plan in place how to make this happen.
Okay. Put a plan in place. For the case of this illustration, maybe he can just shout across the divide, or he could get out of his phone and, you know, send a text message, or he could write a letter to the. What are some more options for him? What should he do?
Coming from the premise that a bridge can't be built?
No, a bridge definitely can be built. In fact, right here is the pile of materials to do it. We've got some rocks and we've got some, you know, blocks of the mortar. Discuss the vision and the goals, right? So, what would those be in relation to what's written up here? What's the vision and goal? Who said that? Okay. Oh, you. Okay. What would you be discussing? Would you be discussing this?
Yeah.
The what success looks like. Okay.
What do we want to do in the future?
I'll build a bridge.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'll build a bridge.
Well, the school board is probably a father himself, so therefore he's got to prioritize time to focus on it.
Okay.
Because he's busy too, you know.
Yeah. And that segues into this. This is one of my suggestions. That dad, or maybe it's another one, he gets in his pickup. This is him. And he's got a tray of coffees, even though it costs him money. And he's heading physically in to the school. So my suggestion would be is that prior to actually getting in his pickup and driving and buying them the coffees to head to the school, that he would text them maybe a couple days in advance. Well, what kind of coffee do you want? I'm coming. And this is going to be your chance to talk to me. And what kind of coffee do you want? And so he literally drives in to the school and he, you know, starts building some, the bridge, right? He's going to make that call. Okay. What should he say when he arrives? Remember, here we're trying to get from maybe a position of barriers to here. What words, literal English words, should come out of his mouth when he gets there? Like, what should he do?
How are you? How was your day?
I was going to be more general and say, ask questions rather than making a lot of statements.
The school board member asked the questions or the teacher? The
school board member asked the questions.
Okay, I'll put school board member asked questions. But if he said, here I am, and there's a big target right here, you're free to say, you're just start talking to me, like, what can I do? Like, what are you facing? So he put the big target on him. He put the big target on himself, right? What else?
What can I do to make this better?
And I was going to say, and forgot to, that, like, getting towards the end of this, let's have a little bit of a question and answer, open time that we can discuss things, or maybe.
Father could ask questions specifically about his child. How is my child doing? Are you having problems with behavior? Or what? Just specifically allowing the teacher to speak about my child.
Okay. If it's a father, you could ask directly about my child.
Do you need anything?
Thank you.
kind of ask for a call to a break.
Okay. Okay, that's a good segue then to what if then they spill their guts? There's a whole list of things they're frustrated. Well, maybe there's only two things. I don't know how many. But you've invited the feedback and you've managed to get them comfortable and safe enough that now they tell you, all right, we have a terrible issue of some sort, respect issue or... Now what? What's your next step?
Big drink of coffee.
Stall for time. All right. So I assume a lot of you are school board members. Let's see, it's getting towards the end of October. How many of you have been at your school's post-school day, 3:30 to 5 o'clock? How many of you have showed up there? Oh, that's good. That's a lot of you. Great. How many of you have not? Now what? After you stall for time. I'm just trying to make this just like super practical. Like, what are you going to do now? You have these teachers with a problem.
Ask them what they think they should do and you should do.
Okay.
Ask the teachers.
Is that fair, man? Ask for suggestions, like on what should be done now.
We should acknowledge that we care about the situation. Follow through.
And how would that be done?
I guess so, let it stop with words if there's something that you need to take action on.
Just to remind you, here's the definition of success. That's where we're headed with this. And we're attempting, you know, we don't want to just have a system where you've got this is just a pulley system that you're going to send info across the creek, where you've got the teacher on this end and the school board on this end, and they're both attempting to send the info at the same time. They're just pushing against each other. What would your next action be?
We're going to build a bridge, we're going to get to the other end and kind of take some work.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take action on that.
Okay, so we're still attempting to build this bridge. We'll leave it over there, yeah.
At some point, we have to determine whether it needs action, whether the teacher needs action or needs just to be listened to. There are some times when the teachers aren't a teacher, maybe it's more for ladies and men, but they just want to be heard. And they don't necessarily want you to turn around and walk out and come back an hour with the problem solved. So that has to be a determination.
They were just having a rough day and they need someone to support them.
we about way through, Jonas had talked about it with that the student that needed with the headlamp. Not just done at one time, but have the interest to keep coming back and asking to work on it. Like that connection. It's up there, we guys.
Yeah, so the repeat follow through, yeah. Come back and yeah. Okay.
Another thing, depending on the situation, whatever you may be dealing with, you may have a board member to build that bridge. You may have to stand there in between school teacher and parent, depending on what the situation may be, as a protective individual.
Okay. So maybe just to open it up a little more, just like maybe not specific to those questions, like in teacher board interaction, parents, maybe you have a question or a thought you'd want to run by this group. So
yeah. This year our teachers, one of the teachers came to me and asked if I would be willing to meet with them or one of the board members every Monday morning for a parent meeting. And so we had an opportunity to share then. But that's something that we've not really done before. That's something they suggested. And both sides are enjoying that. Just that prayer time together and discussing issues that we're dealing with.
The repeated interaction, staying connected, yeah.
Question I have, and it might not be proper to ask it here, but as a non-chairman, which I am, how much of that stopping in and asking for, you know, and then when they bring questions to me or problems that I can't, what's my involvement?
How much should you defer to the chairman, or?
Well, yeah. I mean, how much can I do? I'm not charged. Chairman is charged, but
yeah.
I still want to show interest in them to be there. I'm sorry, that's kind of a bad trip too.
So no, that's good. I'm not. Yeah. What do you think? That's a good question, actually.
I encourage my fellow board members to go in. I'd like if they go in as often as I do, or if they have, you know, sometimes our work schedules don't work real great, but sometimes also they have ideas or questions presented to them, and it's nice if some of those things are passed on to me so that I kind of am in the loop at least. But I do encourage my other board members to just be definitely.
Well, part of the question, I think it hinges upon how we understand the role of the chairman. And from what Sam is saying here, apparently his understanding is that, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the chairman is responsible to do everything. You know, if there's problems, he takes care of it. If there's an organization, he takes care of it. Now, not without Sam's help, but that's not Sam's responsibility. He's not chairman. Is that an accurate description of the role of the chairman of the school board? That the buck stops at his desk every time? Or is he there to utilize the resources of the other board members and tell Sam, hey, you go ahead, they talk to you, you go ahead and take care of this. Because I'm just again. What is the role of the chairman, I guess, is the question. I just need two things there to illustrate my thoughts. And I'm sorry for running.
Well, I'm kind of in those shoes, actually. So I was chairman last year and got to the end of my school board term. But then for some not-so-normal circumstances, I got stuck right back on. And I'm not chairman. So I was chairman, now I'm not chairman. So So am I absolved of this? Am I absolved of this right here by now? Last? Okay. No?
I've never been put off the schoolwork for some reason, but I would definitely know the schoolwork as a team, yeah, and not as one person.
The reason we have a chairman is eventually someone has to lead out. But a team isn't a team, it's just one man.
So if there's nobody to take any responsibility to get things moving, then it won't.
Yeah.
But it is definitely a team effort. As for me, I will not. There are very minor decisions that need to be made that I feel are okay to make on my own, but for the most part, I will not make any decisions without the support of the rest of the board and them knowing about it. That, to me, is part of the communication thing.
Mm-hmm. I say amen to that. And besides that, if you have a plural board groups, we're all different and made different. My personality is totally different than the next board member. And I can go in there and talk to the teachers. They may not feel free to share with me what they made with the next board member, or they might feel more free to share with me than another board member. So, but we take it from there. And then we can bring that back to a board meeting and discuss it together as a board and come to a common conclusion.
What defines a successful coffee meeting?
A successful coffee meeting? Okay.
Coffee run.
Coffee run, okay.
Well, I meant that.
This particular run.
Yeah.
Okay, great question. What would define success for that?
They want you to bring them again the next day.
Okay, how often? I'll just add to David's question. Real question. Maybe from being as a teacher, and there's more teachers, how often do you want these guys to show up outside of just you like coffee? True, meaningful communication, how often should that be? I mean, I have some suggestions, but what do you think?
This year, my board was stopping you every 2 weeks after school.
The whole board?
The one that could. Usually the whole board sometimes.
Does that feel too official?
For the first of the year, not really, because there seems to be going.
Okay.
For the rest of the year, we're going to do every 3 weeks.
Okay.
Or basically in between, halfway between parent-teacher meetings.
Okay.
Not like that. Sometimes it seems like there's not a lot to say, but that's better than the other way.
Yeah. So let's follow up on David's question on. So we're going on, well, we didn't hear Bing's opinion either on how often. Or somebody's opinion.
We've often had somebody stop in every week for some years, and then sometimes we've gone for 2 months without anybody stopping in.
Yeah.
I really like that three things that you wrote up there: comfortable, positive human interaction, and respectful. You said, what's an effective coffee run? Those three things should be part of it. Two questions. Okay. One of the things is, if it's fairly frequent and casual and not too long, sometimes we got a lot to do after school.
Yeah.
So, that's just nice. It's just really nice. And not before school, always.
Yeah. In the afternoon.
What's too frequent?
Yeah. Okay, what's...
Somebody suggested, we we had some stress last week, and somebody suggested we meet every 2 days.
Oh, wow.
I can't make that work, but how do the teachers feel about that?
Still a barrier between teachers.
You know what, I missed writing something down that triggered in my mind, and it was in the barrier section. Drama here. And then another terrible barrier is partial contact. If you're in the school board and you only have partial context to the story, that's going to be a giant barrier to that. Yeah.
Well, I think of the frequency, there's something about regularity, now, whether it's every 2 days or once a week as you're doing the prayer thing. But from my experience in teaching years ago, the regularity, when you knew that so-and-so or one of the board or one particular board member was going to show up on Thursday afternoon, you just do it. And they can just walk in, if everything's going fine, it's just hi, how's it going, and then they're out the door again. That to me was a whole lot more helpful than, you know, just somebody shows up on Monday 1 week, the next week it's Friday, the next week it's Wednesday, and it's always a different person. Or because as a teacher, you're working in a really scheduled environment, and to have that as part of the schedule was a bit comforting rather than intimidating. And that doesn't answer the question is how often it should be, but that somehow can be worked out, it seems like, with the teacher. Now we're talking school board stopping in regularly. How about parents? How does that fit into this equation? How often should parents show up? Maybe that's not part of the discussion, but it just came to my mind. I happen to be on the school board and a parent, so yeah. One time I'm wearing my parent hat, and I'm not school board.
Same here, yeah. Well, I think it'd be a little different context of discussion with parents versus school board, probably. The type of conversation would be different, anyway.
Another thought just came to my mind. With frequency, should it be frequency? Okay, so when I was teaching, if a parent showed up at the door, especially if somebody I didn't see very often, my immediate question was, what's wrong? Why is it here? Because they never came. So should it be frequent enough that it's not, why are you here? But, oh, glad to see you. Does frequency help to alleviate the fear that you've got a problem to deal with? When dad or school board members show up at the door. How is that with you, babe?
That isn't my gut instinct, honestly. I know, especially guys are busy, and so filling with devotions, sometimes they'll stop and just sit for a little bit. So, I guess I'm happy to have them there anytime, often. Or
I guess if there's a fear of that, it wouldn't be very hard to just text them the day before, or a little while before, it's like, hey, can I stop in? Nothing, no issue. I'm just interested. Yeah.
It just seems to me like if the teacher gets a feeling of fear, that maybe there's something wrong, whether it's a frequency issue or something else, I'm not sure. Yeah.
Don't be afraid to show up and play softball, volleyball, soccer. Mm-hmm.
So, assume you've done this, and you've talked to the teachers about what their issues are, and there are some, and they've made some suggestions. What now? Church culture, oh God.
Well, it depends. If it's a small issue, go ahead and the teacher has now expressed to you what she feels or he feels would work. I would say affirm it, encourage them. Go ahead and try it. Yeah. If they feel it would be effective. If it's a larger issue, maybe it needs to be discussed with the rest of the board.
Any other questions or that you would have on that subject?
It's nice to have some follow-up as teachers, just because the board talks to parents and thinks everything is fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it is for a week, doesn't mean that it will be for a month. You like to guess that way.
What would be nice is if you did this and you heard the list of issues, or maybe there's some issues and maybe most of it's just drama. Maybe it's not, but maybe some of it is. Maybe part of your role is to be there enough and communicate enough that it can be de-escalated and mostly dealt with then and there, right? Where the teacher can be heard, and if you have a open enough relationship, maybe you can push back and you can get some good back and forth going there with the teacher. Anything else that you would want to bring up?
What about different parents getting a new teacher tips?
What to do with new teacher tips?
From all the different parents and all the different opinions on how to do stuff, right? And I'm brand new to the school, I'm just trying to absorb everything.
What do you think?
Maybe it depends on how large a school you have, how many patrons are involved. If you only have 5 or 6 patrons in the school, we have about that many, so the lower grade teacher does welcome any input that she can get. Mm-hmm. I would think that the tips, if they are truly a casual tip, is one thing, but it's pointed and really pushed in the agenda, that's quite another. But for a lot of teachers, they maybe came off a full barn brewing uniform, or younger, inexperienced person. They had, in some cases, 12 men that learned to become your boss. So I think a board does well to screen that and kind of know when to kind of get in the middle. Mm-hmm.
As board members, we need to be that buffer both ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it can get out of line. It can get out of line pretty quick if you have 12 different parents trying to tell the teacher. And I think probably should be encouraged to go to the board to see the most of a lot of that stuff. We can wade through it and take what we can use.
Along that line, I had a discussion with Aaron last night about what they're doing. I think we seriously need to look at that. They have a good program going. We can talk there.
A mentorship program? Like a mentorship program? Yeah.
He feels like in 2 weeks you can have a teacher up to like a 2-year
teacher. Wow.
That's kind of what I was thinking about too, a little bit. As far as to make it comfortable and successful, especially for a young teacher. And I'm not going in and coaching a first grade teacher because I don't even know how to teach first grade or whatever. But there's people in our communities that can be that coach for her instead of 12 of them. And if we kind of set that up right from the get-go, that this is your mentor. If you need help, go this direction.
I'm not too averse to hearing tips from parents, as long as it's, like I said, respectful and also casual. Glenn said, and this is something you might think about, not in order, this is the way you should do it. And it's also, even if you haven't taught school, it is really helpful sometimes for you as a parent to tell the teacher about your child's struggles or whatever. It would be really nice to know some of that stuff ahead of time. But I'm fairly open to hearing tips. I would also say one of the things that is very helpful, both from a school board and from parents in an interaction, is if they comment, if as a teacher I hear positive feedback on something that we're trying or that we're doing, especially if they can say, my child was talking about it at home, he remembered, she remembered something that she, that is really nice to hear that. And it's, it doesn't seem like it's that hard to do, but it's nice to have that.
Okay, I read two quotes recently, or listened to them. I'll end on here. As a leader, if I set 5 goals and in 5 years have accomplished all of them, I have accomplished 5 things. But if as a leader I, which is good, right? But if I would set 100 goals and fail at 50 of them, I would have accomplished 50 things, right? The other one is start small. And I think this pertains to this. Start small, and if you don't know where to start, do one good little thing, and keep doing that one good little thing until it becomes a regular good little thing. There. Thank you for your help.